Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking about the hiring of Josh Heupel by the Tennessee Volunteers. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our man Trey Wallace from Fox Sports Knoxville. Trey, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Hey, gentlemen. Good morning. Hope everybody's doing well in the mid-state.
Hope you are as well. And Trey, as you know, never dull in Knoxville. Some more action yesterday. Josh Heupel introduced as the 27th head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers. What do you think of this hire? How surprised are you that Josh Heupel is the man in Knoxville?
Yesterday was really surreal. Not a lot of pomp and circumstance around the press conference per se. It was just kind of low key. I think that when we got three and a half days into this thing and they had kind of struck out on some guys that maybe they thought would take the job, they ended up going this route with Josh. And I think that, you know, with Danny White and him taking the job and he talked about it yesterday, I would imagine that Josh Heupel was always in, you know, the back of the pocket, just waiting. Okay, if we strike out here, you know, let's go three or four big coaches. Let's see if we can nail them down. If not, at least I know I have Josh I can fall back on. And I think that's what you saw yesterday. And that's not a knock to his comments of Danny White of saying, look, he was our number one candidate, but we know how this game works. And I think that the University of Tennessee, there were a lot of names out there they probably should have gone after before they probably ended up on Josh Heupel. But at the end of the day, you know what? You need some kind of stability inside the program. And I just think this is a way Danny White can understand what's going on with his football program. He trusts Josh Heupel. And if that's the case, and they're going to try to build up the trust from the fans into the football program and the administration and the university side, then yesterday was a success. But they've got a long way to go, Robbie, a long way to go.
So, Trey, how do you view Josh Heupel's tenure at UCF? Because it does look like it was trending in the wrong direction. It was also a COVID year, which makes evaluations tougher. I mean, how do you take all that information in and evaluate it?
I think there's no getting around the numbers down there in win-loss record and talking with a few folks that, look, it wasn't trending in the right direction. It was going the opposite. I think that when you look at what some of the folks are saying down in Orlando about this with Josh Heupel, I don't know how successful he will be in Knoxville because it kind of felt like things were going the wrong way in Orlando. So when you look at this, it's like, okay, this guy, is it a fresh start in Knoxville? And if it is, Knoxville is a really big market to try to get a fresh start in. I just thought, Joe, to be honest with you, they could have at least kicked the tires on some more candidates before ending up with Josh Heupel, you know, because this is a hire you could have made on Friday. This is a hire you could have made on Monday if you really needed to. I just think they settled too early. And that's just my personal opinion.
Trey Wallace from Fox Sports Knoxville on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Trey, a lot of people pointing to the offensive side of things for Josh Heupel. Obviously, some very good numbers, some very successful numbers that Danny White laid out there yesterday in the press conference. As you look at this offense and the philosophy that Heupel brings to the table, what do you think about that at Tennessee and in the SEC? Do you think it can work for the Vols?
I think Tennessee kind of lucked into the situation right now when it comes to quarterback in the way that Josh Heupel runs his offense. I think the Landon Hooker kid from Virginia Tech could be somebody who could run this, Caden Salter. I don't know how much Harrison Bailey really fits into what Josh Heupel does. I'll be interested to see on that front because Harrison Bailey's not a kid that's going to be able to get outside the pocket. You know, run your RPOs. That one kind of intrigues me. I think Tennessee has enough at wide receiver to make things fun, I guess you could say, put up numbers down the field. The offensive line it's going to need work. I think when you look at this, if he can get some players in here to kind of run his system, the running back position for Tennessee is not in the best spot in the world, but they did bring in a few guys that I think could lead them in 2021. I think offensively, look, Tennessee fans have been asking for more offense, I guess, and when you look at what happened with Jim Chaney this past season and the way the quarterback rotation worked out, I think fans will be intrigued to see points put up on the scoreboard, but the problem's going to lie in when the other team's scoring 45 points, how are you trying to keep up with them? So offensively, I think Tennessee fans will like it. Defensively, he's going to have to bring in a staff that's going to be able to stop what the SEC is doing because they're all going this direction now.
Yeah, that was going to be my question for you is you know, on staff, because it does feel – it's always important, of course, Trey, you know, to put together a staff. But, I mean, you hear it all the time with coaches, especially coaches who maybe aren't known as, you know, great recruiters on their own. Like, you've got to bring in recruiters. Jeremy Pruitt brought in recruiters. Some of those recruiters have been fired. So, you know, it's an interesting balance in this league. But who do you have anyone in mind who would make sense, and how important is that?
I think it's going to be very important because you've got this in-state class that we're talking about for 2022. And that's why I always thought it'd be interesting, if you know, how hard it would be if they wanted to go that interim route for a year. That's kind of why I think they had to make this hire. The 2022 class is just so big. I think when you look, and that's what Jeremy Pruitt did. Jeremy Pruitt put a lot of recruiters on the field, so I think position actually got hurt in the long run. Like Brian Niedermeyer at the inside linebacker spot, I think those guys took a step back this past year. Joe Osevet, tight end spot, I think those guys took a step back this year. So he's going to have to find the right balance of guys that can recruit the Southeast, that can go out west and try to poach a player or two. And that's going to be the difficult part for Josh Heupel, is because Tennessee, I thought, did have some pretty decent recruiters on their staff, but it got themselves into a lot of trouble that time around. So I'm interested to see if he brings three or four guys from UCF, guys that he trusts. I think Josh Heupel, you know, if you got him in a room by himself, he'd probably say, "Yeah, man, you know, I don't like recruiting too terribly much, but hopefully he can get himself a staff around him." You know, does he bring Cody Burns, who he had just hired at UCF to be the wide receiver coach, the former Auburn quarterback / wide receiver? Does he bring Glenn Ellaby on the offensive line? I'm very interested to see, because I don't think you're going to see any kind of the Tennessee staff that was there. You might see one or two holdovers, and that's it, Joe, which, you know, is not going to help when we're already a month and a half almost into the new year.
Trey Wallace from Fox Sports Knoxville on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Trey, you and I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago before Pruitt was fired about, you know, depending on how this goes, if you're Tennessee, do you give Lane Kiffin a call at Ole Miss? And, you know, it doesn't appear that that's happened with Danny White. If that's the case and no call was made, do you think Danny White made a mistake on that front?
It's always hard. I mean, you talk with folks, you see that Lane Kiffin has put some overtures out that, you know, maybe he'd be interested in the job. I think Danny White was put into a spot where, first off, he trusts whatever the Parker search firm put in front of him. I also think that the Lane Kiffin thing, I don't know if it was more. Lane Kiffin could not have gotten any more money from Ole Miss because he had just signed that extension. I don't know if it's actually signed or not, but he had just gotten more money for assistants and himself and more years. Look, Lane Kiffin would have been fun in Knoxville, but would Lane Kiffin have been a good spot when you got the NCAA parked right there on Cumberland Avenue looking at your university? I don't know. That's the hard part about that. The fact that he didn't receive a phone call. A couple boosters were interested in Lane Kiffin. I know it would have probably sold a lot of tickets next year and the year after that. You know what? They probably would have been pretty decent. I just don't think Danny White wanted to go down that road. I think that's why you didn't see Hugh Freeze get a call either, and also make things interesting with Chadwell. Just a couple guys to kind of link up, same type of offense, type of scheme, and they don't get calls, and also same guys with some NCAA background stuff.
So, Trey, what do you think Josh Heupel's ceiling is?
8-4. You know, maybe 9-3 if you catch Florida or Georgia in a bad year. I just don't see it right now, Joe. We're not talking about playing, you know, Memphis every year. We're not talking about that UCF schedule he's going to have to bring in, you know, an offensive line that's big but also quick enough, you know, to hit the edge. This one's going to be really interesting to see how he can put together. Like, if you look at Tennessee's schedule, like, next year, you know, I would expect Tennessee to open the year 3-0, you know, when you have to throw in Tennessee Tech, Pitt, and Bowling Green. And even that Pitt game is kind of up in the air. But then, you know, you look at it, and there's an opportunity for Tennessee to maybe be 5-2, something like that, 4-3. But other than that, I don't see him getting past the 7-8 win mark in the next 3 to 4 years. And then are we in this cycle again where fans are just upset and, you know, they're tired of waiting? But I think the big thing you have to realize is you're going to have to suck it up and give him at least 2 years of a mulligan, because I think they're about to self-impose. I think they're either going to self-impose or they're going to get hit pretty hard from the NCAA. And I would think Tennessee would rather go that route. Okay, let's try to put this out here penalty-wise, violation-wise, and see if we can kind of manage how bad this thing's going to be. And also, I think that's why they put that in this contract, where if anything goes down with the NCAA or they get any kind of postseason banning, it's an additional year in this contract. So there's a lot of variables to get back around to your question of ceiling. I just don't know when the actual clock is going to start because of maybe potential NCAA violations.
Trey, last thing for you here. As you look at Danny White, I mean, the move's made a week ago today, and it's universally, I mean, across the board, people love the hire of Danny White. Now that it's gone this way with Heupel, and to your point, we'll see what it looks like on the field and how it goes. Do you think Tennessee fans, the view of Danny White has changed and shifted now that Heupel has been the hire?
I think when Danny White took the job, everybody was under that assumption that this is kind of the guy that, okay, look what he's doing in his right hand, and he's doing that where you don't pay attention to what he's doing in his left hand. You know, he's going to sneak a really good hire up on you. You know, he's going to go out for that big fish. I think the coaching search-wise, I think people were probably a little bit let down in Knoxville when it comes to Heupel, but I think people also hopefully understand just how hard of a sell it is for the job. And a caveat to that is, again, I'll say it, I don't think they offered the job to enough people. But when we really break it down and look at it, I think people will be excited about Danny White in the future because he kind of reminds me like a Bruce Pearl as an athletic director. He's kind of outgoing. Yeah. He's going to gain support. He's going to raise money. But, you know, it's been such a crazy 10 days. I don't think people have really had an opportunity to sit back and realize what Danny White could bring to the university. And I think he's the type of guy that the university side of this, academia, along with the athletic department side, they got to meet in the middle somewhere. And I think Danny White was a good hire for them. I don't know how he will be graded on this first coach. We'll see. But I got a feeling that he's going to be around anyways if Josh Heupel doesn't work out, or he can make the next hire. So, you know, I think this time he went safe. If it doesn't work out, how much does he put himself out on the ledge the next time around? But I think folks are still liking the new car smell with Danny White, even though they ended up with his old coach, you know, over a span of 5 days.
I like that. And, you know, Bruce Pearl, be careful now with the NCAA investigation going on. There's some comparisons you don't want, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, he's just outgoing. He's, you know, you look at the press conference yesterday, he's calling out media members, for putting out stories about the hire. He's, you know, talking about the negativity, which, you know, whatever. And I don't think – I think Tennessee fans are going to give him a pass for the first couple months of kind of taking shots at them. But it's like, okay, Danny White, we've been dealing with this stuff for 13 years. You've been on the job for 8 days. So please don't try to compare yourself to where Tennessee fans have been over that time. And I think they'll take that approach, give him a little pass, but then, you know what, hey, buddy, you need to back it down a little bit here. You know, we got a long way to go till spring, feels like, and then the fall season, which we don't know what it's going to look like when it comes to COVID and whatnot. So, Danny White, just do your job as athletic director now, I guess, and leave social media to the Tennessee fans. Like, you know, that's all I can think of, Joe.
That's right. They're very good at it.
Yes, they are. Very well equipped on the social media front for Tennessee fans. Trey Wallace from Fox Sports Knoxville has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Trey, great stuff, brother. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
Guys, I hope you have a great weekend. Thank you so much. I'm going to try to sleep sometime in the next 24 hours. Yeah. So you guys be good. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you, Trey. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Trey had to say there and talk about what he brought up to end that segment. What is Danny White getting himself into with this Tennessee fan base? Is he kind of teetering on some dangerous water? We'll discuss that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.